Don't know if you were picking up on it, but it seems like one of the key players in the readings for today, first reading, responsorial, psalm, and gospel, are storms. Responsorial psalm reminds us who has power and authority over storms. God. Even the kinds that are so severe that they set well-seasoned sailors into a state of terror and panic, God has authority over them and can still them. And then we see it in action in the gospel passage, don't we? They're crossing the lake, Jesus is in the boat, and this squall comes up, that water is threatening to flood the boat and wind flip it over. And what, you know, seasoned fishermen in the boat, and what's their state of mind? Because they're afraid they're going to drown. Who has authority over it? Some scholars would like to say Mark doesn't say anything about the divinity of Christ. They're obviously not paying attention to that passage because Jesus just showed he has the authority and the power of God because he is God. So what does that have to do with anything? What was going on in that first reading? Did you pay attention to the opening line? It's about an Old Testament person named Job. And the reading opened up with, speaking out of the storm, God addressed Job, saying, who was it when the oceans were born that took authority over them and told them, beyond this point, you may not go and have authority over it? What was going on with Job? If you haven't read that Old Testament book, I would encourage you to, because it's got something to say to us today. What was happening with Job? It starts off, Job is a very, very faithful man. God even points out that here is a man who is faithful. He's actually very well-to-do. Great herds of flocks and camels and everything else. 7 sons, 3 daughters. Well-respected and well-thought-of by the community. And one day Satan shows up in heaven and God says to him, look at my servant Job. Look at how great of a man he is. And Satan says, well, it's because you've blessed him so much. Let me touch his circumstances and see if he's still that faithful to you. See if he won't curse you. And so God allows him to afflict Job's circumstances. In the course of a day, all of his flocks of camels and oxen are robbed. His flocks of sheep are stolen. His wealth is wiped out. And he still does not curse God. He's still faithful. And so Satan says, well, let me touch him, because God forbid him to do any harm to Job himself. And now Satan says, well, this isn't working, so let me touch him personally. And so Job gets afflicted literally from head to toe with these severe oozing boils. They're so severe and so painful that Job's literally gotten pieces of a broken pot, and he's trying to scratch himself to ease the suffering of all the itching being caused by that. And still, Job does not curse God. He stays faithful to him. And then he has these 3 friends show up trying to counsel him and say, well, this must be because you did something evil. You deserved it. And Job has to defend himself saying, no, I didn't. And they just keep at him and 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 at him. And so Job does not curse God. But what does happen? As the story moves along, Job starts to question something. It's like, I have not committed any sins. I have not cursed God. God, why are you doing this to me? And that's where this passage comes in. God speaking to Job out of the storm cloud, saying, basically, who do you think you are to question me? I'm God, you're not. Job is obviously feeling that he's being unjustly treated, right? Has that ever happened to any of us? We had something happen to us that we felt was totally undeserved. It's like, God, why are you letting this to afflict me like this? God would say the exact same thing to us, like, who do you think you are? Because we are not what? We're not God. Job was being tested. Yes, very severely tested. Why? The apostles that are in the boat with Jesus, they're being tested. Why? Did they pass? Hint, no, they didn't pass. Because instead of just, hey, Jesus, could you wake up and give us a hand here? The boat's going to go down here soon. No, it's like, Jesus, wake up! We're afraid we're going to drown. And he actually asked him, he's like, you know, what's the matter with you? Look, I'm here. I'm in the boat with you. They were being tested. They didn't pass this one. But they're being prepared because they're going to face even greater tests as time goes on. They will be tested. And how they handle the tests is going to be a huge, major part of their being witness to Christ after the resurrection and ascension and the descent of the Holy Spirit. How they handle the tests, the challenges that come against them, makes a great deal of difference. And so God is allowing these things to happen to prepare them for what's going to come later. Job, same thing. He's being tested, prepared for greater things to come. So when those types of things happen to us, what's God up to? We are also going to be tested. And some of the tests, yes, they are very hard and they seem very harsh and feel very unfair. Some of them we bring upon ourselves. Remember, God created us with a free will. We have the right to make choices. And when those choices are bad ones, we will also face the consequences of the choices that we made. We are free to make the choice, but we are not free of the consequences of what we chose. That catches a lot of people by surprise. Like, well, this brought bad results. Why am I getting punished for it? Like, well, you did it. But those that we didn't do, those that just came into our lives, sudden illnesses, accidents, injuries, loss of a job, being abandoned by friends, all of those things are tests. And they all have a purpose to them. Now, this is not the kind of thing that gives us an answer to life circumstances that really makes us feel good, because they are hard. But they do happen. Why do they happen? A, there's a struggle that we face of having to face the fact that the world does not revolve around us. And life is not all about us. Because we're not in it just for ourselves, are we? Are we? No. How Job handled the test, how the apostles learned how to handle the tests, is a big piece of how they bear witness with their lives. And it's no different for us. Those tests have a purpose. Remember something I explained repeatedly. When God allowed us, called us to be conceived, to begin our existence in the womb of our mothers, what has been God's ongoing, constant, consistent desire for each and every single one of us on planet Earth, from Adam and Eve all the way to the end of the world? What does God want for us when we are born onto planet Earth? Why are you here? Why did God choose to make you? Because he wants you ultimately to be where? Okay. Let me try this from another angle. At some point, you're going to stop breathing. Right? Might as well go with me on this one because it's right. You will stop breathing someday. Your soul will depart from your body. And then when Jesus comes again, your body and soul will be reunited. And where do you want to be? That should be a really easy to answer question, shouldn't it? I have time. I have until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Where do you want to be when your earthly life is done? Everything that's going on in your life now is all being directed and ordered by God. All the challenges that come into your life are allowed by God for the express purpose of helping us to be ready for that moment. Because literally, we are choosing our eternity while we're here. God is trying to help us to be prepared for it while we're here. All of those challenges that come are allowed by God with the express purpose of helping us to be prepared. And again, remember, it's not just all about us, because while we're here, remember that whole part about love your neighbor as yourself? How we bear witness to our faith in God by how we handle those things as an important piece of what it means to bear witness for Christ. Remember, Jesus challenges the apostles that are in panic mode for, you know, where is your faith? Because sometimes it's our faith that's asleep in the boat when we get into panic mode. And what God is trying to do is shake us up and wake us up to remember, because who was in the boat with them? Who was in the boat with them? I'm not going to let you go until you tell me who was in the boat with the apostles while the storm is raging around them. Jesus was right there. And literally, he is never not there. But when we go into panic mode, what have we forgotten? That he's there. And he's seeking to test us, to build us up, to strengthen us, to help us to bear faithful witness of him, because we learn to trust that no matter what our circumstances are, he's there. He's with us. Will not let us go unless we let go of him. They were being tested. We are being tested in the present. Are we allowing those circumstances of our lives to build us up, to help us to grow in our trust of the providential love of God at work for us, especially the gift of Jesus himself in the Eucharist? Are we letting him build us up for that moment, that we may bear faithful witness to him in those moments of storms, no matter how great they are? Remembering who is in the boat with us. And that's Jesus. That we may bear witness of him by showing how we trust that he is indeed there. And will lift us up, strengthen us through, and guide us all the way from here into the fullness of his kingdom. But we need to remember, no matter what the storm is, no matter how big it is, God never loses control. But we need to remember that he's in the boat.